With your permission, I'd like to address something this morning that hangs over our heads, but rarely gets named. It's not a particularly comfortable subject. So, to paraphrase Betty Davis, fasten your seatbelts. We're in for a bumpy sermon. From the time we are born, and perhaps even while we're still in the womb, it is driven into us. We are told, it's all about you. We hear it shouted from our TV sets. You. All of you. You smell bad and you look worse. And if you're not careful, you'll lose your job, your health, any chance of getting anywhere. You've got ring around the collar. You're a failure. Thank God I'm here to sell you stuff that will make people stand up and take notice of your otherwise miserable selves. You look like garbage, but if you'll buy what I'm selling, I'll make you look good. You're a nobody. But if you'll buy the car I'm selling, you'll have some status. People will notice. You'll have value. Value sold to you by me. You deserve a break today. You deserve a new car. You deserve that really expensive watch. It's all about you. And the truth of it is, as long as you believe it's all about you, someone else wins. There is money to be made in keeping us down and focused on ourselves and only ourselves. There's a lot of money to be made and power to be had, but it is also spiritual bankruptcy. And this spiritual bankruptcy transcends everything in the world around us. Examine one of the great American traditions. Cheap. I want a whatever. What's the cheapest price I can get? We've talked about this before, so I won't belabor the point, but more often than not, cheap comes at a huge cost. To get a shirt or blouse cheap, as example, can come at the cost of unsafe working conditions, found worldwide but dramatically in evidence during the deadly fire in Bangladesh earlier this year. And keeping the price of that shirt low can come at the cost of decent wages for the people who sell that shirt to us. And there can be disastrous environmental costs as well. But as long as we are focused only on ourselves, as long as we've bought into the idea that it's all about us, and we believe we're not really worth much, so we have to grasp everything we can, then who cares about the cost to others? I remain dazzled, bewildered, that so many of us accept at some level at least that it's a zero-sum world. For me to win, you have to lose. And to make me feel comfortable in winning, losers have to be disparaged. The poor are poor because they are weak and stupid and lazy. What other reason could there possibly be? How dare the Pope talk about capitalism run amok? Jesus, the Buddha, Moses, Muhammad, Baha'u'llah, Black Elk, and those other wimps, notwithstanding, the poor are to be despised, leeches on society. Or so we are told. And more than that, since it's a zero-sum world, you are only one paycheck away from being despised and a leech yourself. So don't you dare make waves, for crying out loud, don't think about others. Indeed, be afraid. This is the overwhelming, overarching lesson being taught to us by our news media, what passes for entertainment, and our politicians of all stripes. Live your life from childhood to senior citizen, afraid. That, though it's rarely spoken out loud, has become the theme of the disappearing middle class, and has long been the theme of those struggling to make it to the middle class. Live your life in fear. Because it's a zero-sum world, and on that ladder to success, there's only so much room. If there's someone else climbing the ladder, there may not be room for you. I would submit that fear enslaves us as surely as the strongest shackles. Or, if you prefer the words of Frank Herbert in his novel Dune, fear is the mind killer. Some 80 years ago, Franklin Roosevelt warned us that the only thing we had to fear is fear itself. We believed him, and America learned to prosper. But that fear has returned. It has become a pandemic. Okay, I'll get off my soapbox now, but I felt and feel that it's hugely important to name what is happening. Still, the question for this morning is not, oh, look at all these problems. The question is, what can we do about them? How can we get from a me and mine myopia to a truly inclusive sense of us? For one thing, we can lift up the life of Nelson Mandela, who spent his younger years as one of them in South Africa with no rights at all. He spent his middle years, 27 of them, in prison, much of the time in an 8x8 cell. If there was ever a person who had every right to put me first as he emerged from prison, it was Nelson Mandela. But he did not. He emerged from prison embracing us. And we can learn a lot from the example set by President Mandela. And yet, it is already beginning. Nelson Mandela, the icon. We can't possibly be a Nelson Mandela. So if we're not careful, we'll praise him, lionize him, even sanctify him, putting his image in marble, and then return to our lives of fear. Mandela himself understood fear. He wisely cautioned us not to try to be fearless. We move ahead, he told us, not because we are fearless, but because we refuse to be ruled by our fear. This is an important lesson. Nelson Mandela has passed from this earthly existence. The question for us who remain is, do we make him an idol to be worshipped or an example to be followed? I urge myself, to be a follower, not a worshiper. But how do we follow? We're not Nelson Mandela. And there are so many problems. There is so much injustice. It can be paralyzing. How can we even begin? And dear friends, if we can't begin, nothing will change. I believe in small steps. I strongly believe that our call is not to solve the problem. Our call is to nibble at it relentlessly. And if each of us nibbles as we can, together we can truly make the difference we seek. Our problems are indeed huge, which is why we need to flush the zero-sum world down the intergalactic toilet and realize the strength of our togetherness. There is no them. There is only us. Sounds fine, or maybe not. But assuming it sounds fine, the question is, how? How do we become a community of relentless nibblers? How do we get up every morning committed to our share of relentless nibbling at the world's injustice during the day? Well, you just know that I have a thought about that. I'll share it with you. I would suggest this. We live in a democratic, capitalist society. Every dollar we spend is a vote. It is a vote not only for the world we want to live in, but our dollar votes every day are also about the future. What is it that we want our children and their children to inherit from us? With our votes, with the dollars we spend every day, are we voting for a better, more just world, or are we voting to condemn our children? When I buy a cup of coffee, I'm voting. That coffee is more than a wonderful, blessed beverage of the morning. It's a vote. Organic or not? Fair traded or not? If I'm buying it to go, is it in a compostable cup or not? Every cup of coffee, every bar of chocolate, every tank of gas, every shirt, everything, with everything I buy, I cast a vote. So if we are to be a dedicated community of relentless nibblers, we should vote with intent, not carelessly. I think we need a voter's guide for most things if we're to vote with intent. Now, there are some apps being developed. There are apps for virtually everything these days. But so far as I know, they're not functional yet. So I will offer another voter's guide. It is called the Better World Shopping Guide. Some of us are already familiar with it. I've bought and given away nearly 50 of them by now. I've brought three more with me here today. If you are not familiar with it, I would suggest you take one. Please do. I would not ask you that you pay me for the Better World Shopping Guide, but if you find the book worthwhile, pay it forward. Tell other people. Buy perhaps a few of your own and give them away as you can. This is the fourth edition. It gets updated every couple of years, and more recent updates can be found online. This little book can be your guide to daily, relentless nibbling at the problem of injustice, at the problem of me, me, me-ism. Now, a word of caution. Products and companies are rated in the Better World Shopping Guide from A to F. And sometimes there are no good choices. There are only less bad choices. That's okay. As example, I go a bit out of my way to buy my gas at a D-plus gas station. just so that at least I'm not shopping at the more convenient D- or F gas stations. We do what we can, but if we will do what we can together, we can do a lot. So far as I know, none of us has the ability to change things with the wave of our hand. Even a giant like Nelson Mandela, though he was truly the father of his country and did so much during his lifetime, even he left behind him a whole host of problems of inequality that are yet to be solved in South Africa. Yet he did some impressive, almost superhuman nibbling. That is what we need to remember and carry forward. What is important is never to give up. What is important is never to allow our fear to make us forget our connectedness to one another. What is important, I believe, is to become committed to relentless nibbling. Each morning when we rise, each day that we live, let us keep at it. And let us remember to vote. Well, we vote with our dollars every day, whether we think about it or not. Let us be informed voters. Informed, relentless nibblers. Now there is an image to behold. Amen.